Welcome to the Village Church Podcast. Thanks for stopping by and taking the time to listen. We've prayed that this podcast channel blesses and encourages the Village family. So lean in with an open heart, eager to grow, and enjoy the episode.
And the elders of this local church for trusting me with the microphone this morning. It really is a privilege and a pleasure to bring in encouragement from Scripture. Just opening my notes, sorry. So I get to share on Psalm 23 this morning, six verses in there. It's a psalm that's often used at funerals. It was used at my own father's funeral when I was a young girl. And many people see Psalm 23 as a psalm that has to do with death. But I believe Psalm 23 has more to do with life and how we live our life out in faith. And I hope to show you that this morning. Stephen, can you play that first video, please?
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
That's Psalm 23. Now, many times during the morning, I'm going to refer to the NIV that you've heard there this morning, but other times I'm going to refer to the ESV version of that scripture. So the psalm was written by David before he became king of Israel. He was actually a shepherd boy, and he took care of and he protected his father's vast flocks of sheep. David's also known as a prolific writer. He wrote many of the psalms that we read of today, and he's seen as a poet or a psalmist. Probably his most famous psalm that he wrote is this one. Most of us would be able to quote it. And here in the psalm, he describes God as the shepherd and God's people as his sheep, his flock. Some people say that he wrote that psalm as king of Israel. Other people say that he wrote this at a very dark time and season in his life. And yet others say he wrote this as a mature older man who had lived a life and seen the goodness of God and the good character of God experienced through his life or seen in his life. Now, before I continue, I'm going to ask every one of the children to come to the front here quickly. Is that possible? We need you. We can't do what we're going to do next without you. Don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you do anything weird, wacky, or scary. We don't have children's church through the holidays, so we just want to include you in some way. So a video is going to come up on the screen. It's going to have words, and I want you to sing those words. I'm asking the moms and dads and other adults to help us sing the song as well. And if you want to get your boogie on, you get your boogie on. Okay, whatever you want to do. All right, let's sing the song together.
Sheep, ba, ba, ba. Don't want to be a hypocrite.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I thought I was bopping there all by myself, or bopping there. Sorry, not bopping there, bopping there. There's some crayons. There's some activities here for you to do, word searches. Grab some crayons, and please go back to your parents and quietly get on with your activity while you listen to what is shared this morning. While they're doing that, there are a number of key words and thoughts through Psalm 23. And I realized very quickly as I went down a number of rabbit holes that, oh my gosh, I wasn't going to get through this psalm. So I try to pull myself back and I try to look at most of the psalm. But just this morning, I'm going to share words with you that just popped out at me and I hope will encourage you as they encouraged me. So in verse 1, we'll see the first word that comes out in that verse for me was shepherd. Now, I wondered what kind of shepherd David was. I wondered what kind of shepherd he was speaking about as he wrote this. Because in our modern living here in New Zealand, what I've seen and observed are four-wheelers, motorbikes, as the shepherds on there, or farmers, as we know them, sheepdogs running around, sheep yapping and snapping at their heels, sharp commands coming out of the shepherd's mouth, and I see huge, beautiful, lush green fields, and the most enormous amount of sheep I've ever seen in those fields, which is actually quite understandable because apparently there are more sheep in this nation than there are people. I don't know if that's true. Okay, so David wasn't talking about those kind of shepherds in this piece of scripture. He was talking about Middle Eastern shepherds, and he was talking from his personal experience because he had been a shepherd. Now, those shepherds carried rods, they carried staffs, they carried slings with little stones in a pouch, and they performed their duty as they went around their day with the sheep. And like David, it was often the youngest son, the youngest daughter of the family who was the shepherd. And they would spend day after day taking care and protecting their father's flocks. And they took care of every single one of those sheep's needs. Like David, they would protect those sheep. Think about David. He protected the sheep from a bear. He protected the sheep from a lion. It was quite hectic in those days. Thank God we don't have lions and bears here. He guided them into safe pastures. He led them to green grass where they got a good feed, drank clean, refreshing water so they could remain healthy, parasite-free, disease-free. And David would often use that little sling or that staff or that rod to guide, to lead, and protect the sheep. As a Middle Eastern shepherd, he would use the staff, that stick, to give the enemy a bit of a knock on the head or a jab with a stick to keep them away from the sheep. At times, he would use that sling for protection, little stone. Do you remember Goliath? Put it in the sand. The sling went round and 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 round. Don't you remember it? And it hit the giant on the head and the giant tumbled down. Right. So they used to use the sling with stones to protect. But also sometimes, wandering sheep, getting further and further away from the shepherd. He'd put a little stone in the sling, he'd flick it around, and the stone would land just in front of the sheep, who apparently have very small brains, and they would turn and come back and stop wandering away. Sometimes he would have the crook part of the stick, and he would hook them and pull them back. They're about to fall off the side of the mountain, or they're about to fall into a crevice, whatever it was, he would draw them closer and pull them away from danger. So those tools are very different from four-wheelers, motorbikes, and snapping dogs. But throughout scripture, you see mention of shepherds and sheep, and it paints a picture of God as the shepherd and we, his people, as a flock of sheep. So Psalm 78:52 says he led his people out like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Psalm 79:13, but we your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. Psalm 119, verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commandments. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And at times, you actually see that picture of a shepherd and sheep painted in a bit of a negative. Jeremiah 23:1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. And possibly one of the most well-known is Ezekiel 34, where God speaks about good shepherds, he speaks about bad shepherds, and he speaks about the consequences and rewards they receive. But let's get back to Psalm 23, verse 1. Here David reminds us that God is our shepherd and that he takes care of us, he guides us, he protects us, he feeds us, he leads us into spacious places of rest and peace. He reminds us that God as our shepherd provides us with everything we need for life and godliness. And as our shepherd, he makes sure we'll have no lack of guidance, rest, peace, discipline, safety, and care. But the other word that kind of popped out of me through that verse was that one word. And one word can say a lot. And it was my shepherd. It highlights to me something familiar, something personal. It speaks to me about an intimacy, an intimate relationship. It speaks to me of knowing. It speaks to me of ownership. I belong to him. I want to say that nothing of the promises and possibilities of our personal faith relationship can be true for any one of us unless we adopt the my. Unless we appropriate my, and that's through accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Only then can that Lord, that Jesus Christ, be my Savior. Which means I belong to him. He owns me through the price of his blood. I am his. He is mine. We have that personal love relationship, that intimacy. He becomes my shepherd. I become one of his sheep. I'm not a number. I'm not sheep 599 branded on my rump. No, he knows me personally by name. Colette Laura Miesk. And that's the same for every single one of you in this room. If you've appropriated my shepherd, if you've bowed the knee and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you now become counted among his sheep, not number XYZ, but by your personal name, Malachi, Jude, Miesk, will one day bow his knee and accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Do you remember the story of Matthew 18, verse 10 to 14? It's the story of the lost sheep. Jesus Christ goes out. He leaves the 99 and he goes and looks for the one. He doesn't want anyone to be lost or perished. He wants all saved and all finding eternal life. And he goes to extraordinary lengths for that to happen. Even death on a cross. Because make no mistake, Jesus Christ is the only way, the life. He is the only way, the truth and the life, John 14:6. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. There is no other way for salvation. If we do not accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're doomed for eternity, separated from him. That's forever and ever and ever. In John 10:11, Jesus declared, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's clearly referring to the fact that he is giving his life to save you and I, his sheep. Because he's a shepherd who truly cares for us, loves us, and only wants the best for us. We can trust him. As my shepherd, he protects me. As my shepherd, he makes sure I get a good feed. As my shepherd, he makes sure to bring to me living waters that I can receive. As my shepherd, he gives me a personal relationship that brings the fullness of life and hope to me again. He provides a safe place to run to in times of trouble. He protects, he leads, he guides, he feeds, provides water of the Spirit, and ensures I have everything I need. And what I need, what you need, is a shepherd called Jesus Christ, a Savior and a Lord and a Master. His name is Jesus. I wanted to give an opportunity at that point that if there are any people in this room right now this morning who cannot say with confidence, he is my shepherd, who have not yet given their lives to Jesus, they haven't bowed the knee and acknowledged their great need for him, they haven't bowed their knee and acknowledged that they're a sinner in need of a savior, I wonder if we could close our eyes, and I want to give an opportunity for anyone who's in that place to actually raise their hand so I can pray for them. I'm not going to labor it, but is there anyone in this room who has not bowed their knee to Jesus and would like Jesus to become their savior, their shepherd? Anyone? Okay, so church, I want to speak into that. Why are the lost not coming to the well of life? Why are the lost not coming to church? Look around you every day. You're encountering them. And may I encourage you that the love of God that was extended to you, you'll extend to them and tell them about the one who loves them so completely and utterly and gave his life for them, and then bring them to church. In verse 2, it continues with, I lack nothing. The ESV says, I shall not want. Now, what does that mean for the Christian? Does that mean I can name it and I can claim it? Does that mean David was saying the prosperity gospel is the only gospel? No, I don't believe that's the case. I believe that it means that whatever is needed for my total health and my well-being, that will be provided for by the shepherd. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 and 4 reminds us that all my spiritual needs will be met because his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires, which means everything, absolutely everything I need for life and for godliness is found in Christ, my shepherd, which means he's enough and he's all I need. Shepherds don't only take care of the sheep they have. They go looking for lost sheep. And they go looking for wayward sheep, those who perhaps have fallen over the cliff or fallen into the crevice. Or even those sheep who wander away thinking, oh my gosh, that grass looks greener on the other side. Years ago, there was a news story about Shrek. Not Shrek the green ogre, but Shrek the very woolly sheep. Now, in 2004, this sheep was found on the South Island, and he'd survived for 6 years without a shepherd. He hadn't been shaved or shorn for 6 years, and he'd been hiding in caves to escape the shepherd. Now, the first time I saw that photograph, honestly, he looked like a ridiculously large, discolored marshmallow with legs. And some said he was like an alien from a far-off planet. His owner said he was some sort of biblical creature. I think there's a second picture of that. But honestly, I don't see anything biblical about Shrek at all. Merino sheep are shorn annually, usually. And when Shrek was finally discovered, he was actually unrecognizable as a sheep. And it isn't really that funny, because I'm told if merino sheep aren't shorn every year, what happens is they overheat, and actually they can die from overheating. So it's quite scary. But what happened was he wasn't sheared, and his coat had got too large, too heavy. Dirt and dropping had become entangled, and he looks really clean there. Dirt and droppings had been caught up in his wool. Fleas and parasites were in abundance, and he was really, really unwell. You know, it was a miracle he was actually alive, because he was so unhealthy. He actually struggled to walk. He couldn't eat. He couldn't do anything that a natural or a normal sheep could do, because he was overburdened by that great big coat of wool. And I think, folk, that we can be a little bit like Shrek and wander away from our shepherd at times. And we can end up carrying this heavy load and this weighty load that we've picked up as we've lived independently, sinfully, or disobediently. And things stick to us. And those things were never meant for us to carry. Jesus actually did it all at the cross so we wouldn't have to carry any weight. And when we run away and we isolate ourselves from the shepherd, we open ourselves up to an infected faith, to soul wounds, and to being vulnerable to enemy's attack. And we end up weighed down with burdens that affect our walk and affect our spiritual health. And it could be many things. You know, in our modern living, it's stress, it's worry, it's anxiety, it's panic, it's apprehension of, oh my gosh, what happens if the waters do rise and my house does get filled up? And then I'm going to lose this. We get so caught up with disappointment, hurt, rejection, shame, fear. And those things become infections that weaken our faith. And we get weighed down. And the overall health and well-being of us is affected by that physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and even relationally. But if we run to the shepherd and we stay close to our shepherd, we find that we have everything we need in that place, and we find green waters, clean waters, and we find green fields, and we find all the pathways are neatly mapped out for us, and we find everything we need in that place. Even if we're going through the darkest valley, even if we're going through a hardship, we know that he's there with us, and he's got his rod, and he's got his staff, and he's got his sling, and he's fighting battles on our behalf. And so we can discover, like Shrek, that being away from our shepherd, we can have lack. But being with our shepherd, even in the most darkest of places, we can find we have everything we need. Because actually, let's face it, life is not all roses and chocolates, even though we wish it were. Life can be hard. It can be challenging. It can be difficult. It can be full of grief and trauma and loss and loneliness. But if we stay close to our shepherd, we'll find everything we need in him. When we pull away from him, it's another story. Our shepherd will feed us. Our shepherd will refresh us. Our shepherd will give us courage when there's a dark valley ahead of us. Our shepherd will comfort us. Our shepherd will never leave us alone. You know, when we walk away or run away from our shepherd, what ends up happening is we get into a terrible shape and condition. And in the end, we end up on paths we shouldn't. And those paths can lead to death. That death can lead us to separation. Shrek was returned to his shepherd. He was dewormed, given antibiotics, cleaned, shaved, all that kind of thing. Look at what he looks like after all of that happens. A completely different sheep, a brand new one. And that's what happens when we stay close to our shepherd. There's a radical transformation that occurs, and everything is now carried by Christ and because of Christ. That's the power of staying close to our good shepherd, because we stay healthy and we stay unharmed. I want to change the imagery just a little bit, because just the other day, just up the way here, I saw this field full of horses. And this one horse, which I can only imagine is maybe a little bit older, had a cover on him. But the cover had broken, and the cover kept falling underneath the horse, and he would trip and stumble around. That's not how a horse should be functioning. And so what was meant for protection, what was meant to keep him safe from the elements and to keep him warm, was actually being part of, it was affecting his walk because it was broken. And instead of covering and protecting him, it was actually going to cause him damage. Because if left unchecked, that horse was going to fall, perhaps break his leg, which perhaps would lead to him being put down. Now I'm talking about a horse and not a sheep, as Psalm 23 talks about. But in that moment, I felt the Lord just drop in my heart. Some of my people are living with things that are tripping them up, things that are weighing them down and affecting their walk with me. They're hindered. They're limited by the things they've put on themselves or others have put upon them. They're believing things that people have labeled them with and the things that the enemy has placed on them. It's not of me, because I want my people free. I want my people running unabandoned or with total abandonment into my purpose for them. And so Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Mark started with the scripture like that in the beginning with worship. Come. Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is saying to some this morning, come, come to me, come back to me. Don't run away from me because of your hurt or your pain, your disappointment, unforgiveness, offense, whatever it might be, rejection. Come to me, press into me, lean on me for strength and courage and hope and peace, or whatever it is that you need, because I will meet that need. I want to take things off you that the enemy has entrapped you with, has hindered you with, has tripped you up with. Some of those things are even threatening your very life and destiny. But I want you to enjoy the fullness of life that I paid for with my blood and death on the cross. Jesus is saying to some, run back to me, stop running away from me. Come back to me, don't pull away from me. Press in, throw those weighty burdens on me. I'm big enough and strong enough to carry them for you. You weren't meant to. Let me take that weight off you, because in me, there's truly no lack of anything you need. Come, my darling, my beautiful ones, come back. Come to me where you will find your security, your place of standing, your tarangawaiwai as a son and a daughter of the living King. To some, he's saying, you've been weighed down with things that others have put on you. I want you healed and free. Those words of curse, those words of criticism, those labels, you're stupid, you're not good enough. Limitations people have placed on you in the past, maybe even recently. Those words that have wounded you, lies that you've believed, lies you've believed about the Father, lies you've believed about yourself that the enemy has held you in bondage to. I want you healed and free from those. Anything that you're struggling to let go of, anything that is threatening to derail your faith and disqualify you and keep you in bondage, that sin that so easily entangles you, I want you free from those things. So this morning, you might identify as Shrek. You might identify as the horse in some of the things I've said. Well, I believe Jesus is here to break things off. So I'm going to ask every eye to close, every head to bow. And I'm going to ask you, if you are a Shrek or if you are that horse, I'm asking you to respond so that I might pray for you this morning. Could you put your hands up? No one is looking. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Any more? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we acknowledge we were running away. We were hiding from you. And we've become overburdened with sin, guilt, shame, or whatever else it is. We come back to you this morning. We've finished with running away. We return and we live as your son and your daughter again. Forgive us. Cleanse us of all that guilt, all that shame, all that condemnation. Release us of all that weight and help us to live our faith empowered by your beautiful, wonderful Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. For those of you that have perhaps lived under the weight of words that you've believed, I want to pray for you. And so I'm going to ask every eye to stay closed and every head to stay bowed. There's a couple of things. If you have believed words of lies and deception, you've believed things about yourself that your Heavenly Father, your friend Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are not speaking over you, they're words of lies. Satan is a father of all lies. He's a father of all deception. I want to ask you to raise your hand. We're going to break words over you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to save us and to free us from everything that hinders us in our faith walk. We repent of believing lies spoken over us. We reject every lie, every label, every curse, and we choose your life in all its fullness. We choose freedom from every word filled with the weight of condemnation, control, deception. And we choose to believe what you say over us. We are loved. We are accepted. We've been adopted into your family. We are a child of the living God. And we have worth and we have value as your son and your daughter. Jesus, thank you for making us whole. Thank you for setting us free from every word birthed in hell. Thank you for releasing us from wrong thinking, wrong believing. Today, we choose the truth. We choose life. We choose the love of our shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of that weight that Shrek carried was as a direct result of intentional, willful sin. Perhaps he was addicted to the grass on the other side near the caves. I don't know. But I felt that there are things that are weighing people down. Addiction to prescriptive drugs, addiction to drugs of any sort, addiction to alcohol, addiction to pornography, addiction to, you name what it is that you're addicted to. And I really believe this, what is kept in the dark, the enemy can continue to use throughout your lifetime. But you bring it out in the light and expose it to the light and the love and the forgiveness of Christ, the enemy's lost any hold on you. So if you can close your eyes and if you can bow your heads, Jesus doesn't embarrass people. He's not trying to expose people, but he wants his people, his children, living free, living whole, living upright, righteous lives, reflecting him as they should. And so if anyone here is struggling with any addiction of any sort, no one's looking. I just need to see an indication that I'm praying for people. I'm not even going to remember who you are. If you're struggling with addiction of any sort, will you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's an opportunity to be free, to have that thing broken off you. Anyone else? Father, we come boldly to your throne of grace and we find mercy and grace in our time of need. Will you grant release to everyone who's in bondage to a stronghold that the enemy has placed in their lives? We plead the precious blood of Jesus Christ over every single one of those people who raise their hands now. That blood that is stronger than anything, and we ask that you cancel all the commands of the powers of the evil one over those people, that you destroy darkness in their lives. We pray you would defeat the God of this age. You would defeat that addiction now in Jesus' name. That, Lord, you would take back that ground and make it yours. That you would cover it under your blood. And I pray that every person under addiction and bondage would have it broken off now in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to break the yoke and destroy the enemy's work in their lives, to place on your people a yoke that is easy and light. Free your people now. In Jesus' name I ask. I declare freedom. Freedom from every addiction now. Thank you, Jesus. If anything that's happened this morning where you feel the Lord has spoken to you about something, there's a ministry team that operates in this church. And if you'd like to, after the service, come to the front, will that ministry team be here? They will. And they'll minister to you, as will the elders and wives. Verse 3 and 4 of Psalm 23 says this: He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The thing that stood out to me there was the word refreshes. The ESV uses the word restores. And what does that mean for you and I as Christians? Well, our Heavenly Father, with his Son Jesus Christ, and with the helper, called the Holy Spirit, is in the restoration and refreshing business. And man, when we encounter him and we open ourselves to him and we yield to him and we submit to him as our Lord, as our shepherd, as our master, as our king, a transformation process of note takes place. And we no longer look like the old Shrek. We look like that new Shrek. There's a totally different thing that happens when we arrive in one state and this transformation process of Christ has worked out in us. We walk different, we talk different, we speak different, we think different. Everything is different and we reflect him better. For me, those verses mean that God never ever writes me off. He never ever writes anyone off. He never throws up his hands in exasperation, that's the word, and says, oh my goodness, I give up on this one, not again, that's it, I'm finished with her, chuck her out. He doesn't do that, ever. Not even if I wander away and willfully sin or do things my way, does he draw back and say, well, I'm having nothing to do with that. He's not afraid of all of that. What he wants is us free, and he draws close, and he's asking us to draw close to him. He gently revives my heart through the Holy Spirit when I become sluggish or lukewarm. When I lose my way, he gently guides me back to him, onto the right path that he's laid out for me. He restores my first love for him if I've lost that, and he leads me back to a safe, secure path. Jeremiah 31:25 says, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. For me, that is such a relief. It's not dependent on me. It's not my energy and my strength. I've been working on my muscles. It's not my energy. It's not my human strength. It's not my humanity that I rely on. I press in to my shepherd. I run to him, and everything I need in that moment is given to me. And so it's his effort. It's his energies so powerfully at work in me. Just because he loves me. When we get to the end of ourselves, he shows up and he strengthens feeble hands and weak knees. He lifts those up who are in trouble on their faith journey. So right paths, darkest valley, fear no evil, with me, rod, staff, comfort, are all such key words, because through those words I discover life is not all mountaintop beautiful, oh, check the vista, isn't this glorious moments. What I discover as I go through life is it's painful, it can be dark, it's testing. But inside that valley of testing, inside that valley of darkness, I find he's mapped out a path for me even in that. That he comforts me. That he takes away evil. He takes away fear. He fills me with hope. He fills me with courage as I walk through. He guides me with his rod, his staff. He's sovereign. He's in control. He isn't surprised what comes against me, but he uses it all to shape me and make me fit for his purpose, that I can bring him honor. And sometimes, sure, he uses a rod, gives me a bit of a slap. Sometimes he has to use the crook and pull me closer because I'm running ahead of him. I'm not staying full of him, keeping in step with him. Sometimes he guides me and he corrects me and he disciplines me along the way, but his comfort and his love and his grace is always there. And he keeps me safe in the midst of it all. What a partnership. He leads, I follow. Am I following? Are you following the one who gave up his life for you? Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Prepare, anoint, overflows were words that just stood out to me because they paint a beautiful picture of God's sustaining power activated in me and in my life no matter what I face. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly, it's there for me. The shepherd provides everything I need to face whatever I'm facing in the battle, after the battle, in the valley, on top of the mountains. Whatever it is, he comes. and he provides everything I need. And when I've been in a battle or a struggle, he gently comes and with the soothing oil and balm of his Holy Spirit, he just ministers to my wounds. He soothes me, he heals me, and he's generous and lavish in his ministrations towards me. What a Father, what a Son, what a Holy Spirit. God, three in one, who loves me, and I now have personal relationship with. And I have everything, everything I need for life and godliness. Everything Jesus was able to do on planet Earth when he was here, everything made available to him is made available to you and I if we just believe, if we're willing to just step out and risk in a moment. He's lavish in his supply. I believe the only thing is when I limit myself, I limit him. But when I step out courageously, the sky becomes the limit. I felt at this point that the Holy Spirit did want to come, and he wanted to anoint, he wanted to heal, he wanted to restore, he wanted to revive, he wanted to awaken, he wanted to refresh his weary inheritance. If you're needing healing in this place this morning, no matter how big or small that healing need might be, I'm going to ask you to respond. And we're not going to bow our heads and close our eyes now, because we're going to reach our hands out to those who need healing. If you need healing, could you just place your hand on the part, if you can, on your body that's needing healing, or your emotions or your mental health, whatever it might be. Can you place your hands on that part of your body if you need healing? Could you raise your other hand so people around you can see you? You're putting your faith out for healing. There's one, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one. Please, can the people around you look at those hands? Can you stretch your hands towards them if you have faith and believe that God can heal them? Father, firstly, I thank you that you are always generous and you are rich in your supply for whatever is needed for your people. Lord, I ask that you come with the oil of your healing upon bodies, upon minds, upon emotions. Lord, this is not something I can do that they can do. Only you, our good shepherd, can do this. Please touch these people in that place their hand is placed on now by your Spirit. And will you release the healing balm of your Spirit and do a finished work of complete healing in Jesus' name. All pain to go, all discomfort to go. For that area of the body, mind, soul, spirit, maybe even a relationship that needs healing, Lord, will come back into the right order. Will come back under submission to you. Release your healing now. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. I'm nearly finished. If you need to be refreshed, you need to be awakened, you just need this wonderful Holy Spirit, the living waters that God wants to release to us, Jesus wants to give to us, would you raise your hand? And we're going to pray for a fresh infilling, indwelling. Thank you. Anybody else? Hungry and thirsty. That's who Jesus responds to. Hungry and thirsty. He says in Revelation 22:17, come, let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you see every hand raised. You see the hunger and thirst of every heart. I ask you to come now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Will you please refresh and empower your people? Will you come and overflow in them? Will you come and overflow out of them? Will you release your anointing and your power upon your kids now, that they might live a supernaturally natural life? In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. And I finish with verse 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, for me, that's a declaration over every believer in this house. God is good. God is love. Heaven is our home. How awesome is that? We have a good, loving God, and He makes everything available to you and I. Every promise, every possibility of faith is ours. It's yours, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours, it's mine, if we just believe. And whether we walk through valleys or on top of the mountains, His love and goodness follow us all the days of our lives. He's always with us our whole life long. No matter what, whether it's good, it's bad or ugly, I have the total and complete assurance that my shepherd loves me. That my shepherd means me good and not harm. That my shepherd is committed to me and His great purpose for my life. Can I pray? Mark says, please. I've obviously gone over time. Sorry. Jesus, thank you for faith in you and for being our shepherd. Thank you for everything you've given for us, everything you've given to us as your children. Thank you for redemption and forgiveness of sins. Thank you for being made new creatures of a new heaven. I ask that you continue to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know you better. I pray that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us to. May we realize the riches of your glorious inheritance available to us, your sheep. And may we hunger for more and live in your incomparably great power that is available for us who believe and are saved. May this power continue to walk in us, transforming us, empowering us, strengthening us, refreshing our inmost being, guiding us and leading us along right paths. May our faith be enriched and grow. I pray that we will be rooted and grounded in the Word and established in Jesus Christ's love all the days of our lives. May your love and your Spirit be an ever-growing revelation to us. May your love and your Spirit overwhelm us and change us that we might continually be established in your love and enabled to love others as you do. And may this ever-increasing revelation of your love for us enable us to do immeasurably more than we could hope, think, or imagine to your glory and your honor. Amen.